Welcome to It's No Secret, a podcast for Kiwis who want their money questions answered.
Ready, steady, go.
This podcast will answer the money questions you may or may not have on your mind. We'll talk to real Kiwis and share truths about our own financial lives.
Both the successes and the failures. Because the truth is, there is no secret to achieving financial freedom.
Hello and welcome to It's No Secret. I'm Christine.
And I'm Kat.
And today we will be chatting about the wonderful question and topic that is friends and money. Now, we're going to try to be not so ranty, but I can just feel that it's going to happen.
I love that you're just vibing this for yourself this morning.
Yeah, this is fantastic. What I'm coming to the episode with. This is a bit of a topic that I think everyone can probably relate to in some form, because hopefully everyone has some friends and hopefully they've talked about money with their friends before.
Or maybe they're not.
Yeah, or true. Point. Yes, or it's potentially just put under the rug. Yep. And so hopefully you can relate. Without further ado, let's get into it. Some interesting stats that we found in this, researching this podcast, was a recent study conducted by Credit Karma found that 88% of millennials have taken on debt after having spent time with a wealthier friend. It's kind of a funny stat.
Yeah.
But also I can see how that happens, potentially.
I don't know if I believe this stat in the sense that I'm like, I think there's more to it, because it's like, what's your definition of taking on debt? If we're talking about credit cards, like, you know, to overextend yourself.
Or mortgage,
Is it like a mortgage? Exactly. You're like, quick, gotta go big. Like, go buy a home. Boom, get on that. So I'm like,
what's the saying? You're like a reflection of the five people that you spend time with.
Correct. Which is part of the topic I think we'll get into with this. Because one thing that I found interesting is, like, reading through, you found a really good Guardian article that kind of talked about, like, the fact that money can have a really negative impact on relationships. And I liked it because the title was, Is the Wealth Gap Ruining Friendships? And I was like, ooh, tell me more. And you and I might have opposing views on this, because I was kind of reading at it coming from a point of view of, like, if you're the friend in the friendship group that is feeling like someone else's income or perceived wealth is much higher than yours, and therefore it is restricting you from doing things, is that really on the person that earns more money than you or has a perceived level of wealth higher than you? And just going to be my controversial starting point, which is like, to your point of you're the five people, it's like, no one's necessarily stopping you from doing things. There is an element. I saw a really good, like, LinkedIn post from Takahukura Boten this week about this. About, like, the fact that for a really long time her mindset with money was like blaming everybody else for the position that she was in, and it wasn't until that change that she started to, like, level up her life. And this kind of rings through a little bit with this theme of, I'm like, we can get into the nitty-gritty of, like, what is the definition of, like, whether or not your friends are wealthy and how do you determine that and how should you talk about that. But I'm like, if you're coming from the starting point of you feel like you're on the back foot, that's on you. TLDR.
I mean, okay, like, let's firstly acknowledge that there's a lot that can feed into that.
Correct, still on you.
For
it's
sure.
It's still your position.
That. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can acknowledge that those other people have more privilege than you do, but that's just an unfair fact of life.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
You know, like, there will always be people that are in
correct,
and there will always be people that are in a better and worse position than you are. And, you know, the sad thing about the article that I felt with from The Guardian was they kind of referenced a number of people that either were no longer friends with people in their friendship group because they felt like they couldn't do all the social things that required money. And to me, that just stood out of, like, you're in the wrong friendship group. It's not necessarily that it's like a money thing. I don't know. And then the other one was the family. So there was a story about, like, a sister had basically been totally alienated from her brother because he made a lot of money in a business. And then her comment was, like, the lifestyle that enabled him took him away from everybody else in the family. And the thing that thought also that popped in my mind is, like, yeah, but is money just the amplifier on what is already your personality?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or is it the actual cause? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
You got to be real hard up about that. It was like, it, was your brother always kind of like that in depth? And like that's core to his personality, and having a lot more resource, like financial resource, has just amplified that. And therefore that has happened, as opposed to if he'd never had that financial resource, maybe you would still kind of go off on your own paths anyway.
Totally. I think it just relates to the underlying values that you have, because your money is just a reflection of your values, really. And so to your point around spending time with different people, like I think ultimately you choose to spend your money on the things that you care about. And so if your friends are choosing to do like spend their monies in ways that on things that you don't value or care about, well then is that really a good environment for you to be in? Because then
aligned friendship?
Exactly. And maybe you wouldn't feel so guilty about spending that money, or like, you know, the relationship between you and parting ways with that money on the thing that you don't value wouldn't be so hard if you valued it to start with.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I can think, you know, in every aspect of your life, like there's no perfect equality across anything, right? Like you don't have a perfect level of like education equality or knowledge levels or job or experience or time or privilege or whatever it might be. And so money is one other factor of that I think gets more critical focus because it's such an emotional like trigger point and hot button for people. And it's really easily, well, it's much more easy to identify that like you have more money than me, probably harder for me to figure out that you're smarter than me or you have a better education level than I do. But I could see on quite easy face value in my own perception that you have more money than me. But
well, the proof is in the pudding. You literally have a higher number or you don't.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of assets or debt or whatever.
Exactly. Like you're coming to lunch in a nicer car than I am. Therefore, I'm assuming that you have more money than I do.
When really I've got heaps of debt behind the scenes that you have no idea about.
Exactly. Yeah. But there's lots of things then in our relationship and life that would be unequal. And so I just find it quite interesting that people feel such strong emotions to the monetary side, where it's like we're not in a world where you're going to be on equal footing with all your friends and family and peers.
Yeah.
Like ever.
Yeah. Yes. Ollie and I talk about this all the time.
So if you accept that as kind of your starting point, it's then like, well, okay, how do you then assess whether or not someone else's perceived wealth, because that is what it is. We can talk about what the definition of wealth is, but it's really your perception of their wealth.
Yeah, based on how they show up and tidbits that you learn along the way about how they treat their money, like use their money, or, you know, maybe they don't invest, but they could, but they choose to spend on clothes or something. Yeah.
And I think it's not only just how they show up, it's how they show up in comparison to you.
Yeah, totally.
Because that's your reference point, right?
Yeah.
And so it is your perception that they are showing up in a way that is different to you. Yeah, and I think this can play out like in really different ways. Do you have any examples that you'd like to share with us? Let's go.
Okay, so I have this friend who loves fashion.
Yep.
Like, and I just have never fully understand it. Like, how do you spend so much money on clothes? And then I'm like, but from what I've heard, I'm also like, I don't know if you have the, you know, like you're clearly funneling your money to this thing, but I fully am like, why aren't you saving more or like spending on investments or whatever? But then I had to take a step back and be like, well, I spend just as much on health stuff that she does on clothes. And so I'm like, who am I to be over here judging that, you know, like, because that's just her, the way that she likes to show up.
Yeah.
And maybe
what she values.
Yeah. And maybe actually I just want to have cool clothes too.
Can I ask you a question? If you saw her in own eyes spending lots of money on clothes, but she, say, also owned an investment property, would your opinion be different?
No, not really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, then
I would be like, okay, well, what is how is that person able to do that in terms of, like, I would unpack – like, is that from, you know, earning, or has there been like an inheritance, or like try to understand what the facts are, because then you start to think, well, if I'm trying to strive to be in that position, how do I do that? You know?
Are you trying to strive to be in that position?
Well, like, if
like, do you want to be a fashionista? Genuine question. I mean, I don't know. Like, live your best life, Christine.
Well, there's like, I flip-flop back and forth because I'm like, I value the health stuff more than I do the fashion thing. So I think at the core of it, no, I don't. But I think there's like, innate like emotions or like jealousy or some type of feeling around that because you're like, oh, but maybe I could do it too. And so it's my lack of ability to like sacrifice in one area, you know? Yeah,
because you probably could do it, arguably, right?
Yeah, yeah,
you probably have the financial resource to spend lots of money on really nice clothes.
Yeah, but I would have to sacrifice something else in place of doing that, which I'm unwilling to do, clearly. Yeah.
But so then I guess I'm not recognize
Oh, totally. And then that's I'm not in a position to then be like
judgy.
Yeah, I'm complaining about why I don't have the clothes or whatever because I just chose to spend my money elsewhere.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. But as you were saying that, I was thinking about I have a friend who is also like probably amongst our friendship group, like the fashionista. Like she travels a lot for work and she's been to Paris 4 times to try and find a vintage wedding dress.
Oh,
like,
wow.
She's that kind of like is going to buy like a beautiful actual full like couture wedding dress.
Wow, cool.
Vintage one. Yeah.
It's quite an experience. Yeah.
Well, but also current challenge is like she's very tall. Like,
oh, yeah. And I love that.
She's like women of like the 1930s, 40s, 50s, not quite as large. The size thing is posing a problem. But like for her telling us those stories, I'm like, this is amazing. Like I so see that for her. Mm. That is amazing. That is not something that I would ever aspire to. Like, wow, that literally wouldn't even cross in my radar to do something like that.
Yeah.
But if you were to look at it on face value, you'd be like, wow, she spent so much time in Europe in the last 2 years. Mm. And then when you dig into it, it's like a lot of it's work trips that then she's kind of tacked on some extra time too.
Yep.
Some of it is like, they're, you know, she's just trying to live her best life and find her wedding dress and do those sorts of things. And then I'm also like, well, I do know that she's got other investments and other things that would indicate that she's fairly financially stable or has the means to do this.
Yeah.
And she doesn't yet have any children. And so I just look at that and I'm like, cool, like that live doesn't faze me. Yeah, you're living your best life. And I'm so pleased because I don't want that life.
Yeah.
And so I have no, like, in that situation, would in other situations, which we can talk about, in that situation, I'm like, I don't aspire to any of that.
Yeah.
Like, there's no part of me that wants to go to Paris and find a wedding dress
not that level of fashion.
I just want to have a nap. Like, that's kind of my level.
How about, like, buying back some time?
I just maybe want to have, like, a weekend away. Yeah. I'll settle with that. But, you know, and so I think it's also where you're at on your journey and to the start of this conversation, it's like a lot of it is about you.
Totally.
It's projecting not about
out.
Them.
Yeah.
You know, like they're your reference point, but you're also your reference point.
Mm. Yes. So how do we fix our stuff?
Well, ironically, this episode started as like, what about your friends? And now it's really like, well, what about you? What do you need to reconcile in yourself?
Oh my God. Okay.
But this is probably a good thing because I think, you know, you've put in here, what does it mean to be wealthy? And this is the whole thing. It's like, it's your definition of wealth that you're projecting onto other people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And I think also that varies in your stage of life. Like at the moment, you'll have probably a different definition of what wealth looks like for you versus when you guys are older and perhaps you have a family and whatever that also looks like. And so it also varies, which I think is where it sometimes catches people off guard and perhaps they can get into a bit of the jealousy trap because it's like, you know, me in my 20s would have been like, well, the life that I have right now is my definition of wealthy. But then, of course, when you're in your like mid-30s and there are people around you that are buying batches and doing other stuff, you have a different sense of perception.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's very easy to fall into the like comparison competitiveness trap because other people are doing things that weren't on your radar and then they're becoming on your radar.
Yes.
And all of a sudden you're like, oh, do I also want that?
Into house purchasing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, that is so true.
So how do we be less judgmental, Christine? How do we be like...
Well, okay. I was thinking about this. Why are we judgmental in the first place? What drives that? Is it that we... Because if we think about, well, what is wealthy to us?
Fantastic question.
Right? It's like, you know, the reason that you project out or criticize or judge or whatever is usually a reflection of like insecurity or unhappiness in yourself.
Or unfairness, like a deep sense of unfairness and the fact that you feel
different
like...
starting points.
Yep, exactly. Yep. Different starting points or different perceived outputs for the same input, I think could also be one.
Okay,
so, you know, like if you see that, well, I'm working as hard as someone else is working, but they're getting ahead faster or they're getting to that financial and monetary goal like sooner than I am. Why is that?
Yeah. Yes, that's a really good one, actually. Yeah.
That I think that's what plays into it for me personally is the idea of like unfairness as opposed to the idea of competitiveness or people. Like I don't compare myself to people that I can very clearly see are in a different lane.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about like we know some people through work here who have like amazingly flashy lives and we know that they have successful businesses and they own lots of property. And I'm like, this is great. Like I just look at that, sometimes cackle because I'm like I just don't see this in my future, but then I kind of get enjoyment out of it because I'm like, wow, this is quite exciting and cool and looks really fun, but also looks very tiring and I don't think I could do that. And so I don't have that sense of competitiveness with that. Interestingly, where I do have a sense of competitiveness or more like baseline level of unfairness is people that have more flexibility around time for the same level of financial resource. So I think with like the agent stage that Luke and I are at, we have a number of friends who, you know, the real common divide is like either dual working families or one working family member and therefore and so and then you start to play out, well, okay, what's like the trade-offs for that and how do I get my time back if I want to spend more time with my kids or, you know, how much do I value my career and how much do we want to get ahead and what does that kind of look like? And that's more complex because I didn't have to think about that in my 20s. I was just thinking about going on holiday.
You're like, how do I get through the next 3 years, not 10 or 20?
Exactly. Yeah. And then I think as well, like one of the things that we've also sort of noticed is people tend to talk less openly about money amongst their peer group as they get older. And we've I know we've talked a lot about this at work because it's like, why does that happen? And I my personal view at the moment is that I think it's because when you are in your 20s or when you're earlier in your life, everyone's starting points are a lot closer together. Like if you think of like when everyone comes out of, you know, university, if you're, that's where your friendship group is, or people are coming out of high school and you're kind of doing a similar thing, like you all have a relatively similar starting point. Yes, there will be people that are coming from different levels of privilege and like family leg ups and stuff, but generally speaking, everyone's kind of earlier on in their career journey and income earning potential, and it goes from there. As then you go through life, depending on people's career paths, there are huge step ups in like income earning potential. Like I think of Luke as one, you know, he has to be a first officer for, let's say, like 10 years earning, I don't know, $140,000 to $180,000. And then the minute he ticks over the time required for him to get a like captain position, he gets a 100K base salary increase.
It's not bad.
Right? For like doing for the, essentially the same thing, but it's time. And so for him, there's like, you know, there's a step change that is outside of anyone else's like control. And that step change will be completely different to step changes that I have in my career for or different to step changes that his friends have that work in like, you know, corporate world or other jobs or whatever that might be. And then I think as well, as you then like pair up, you know, couple up and start a family or not, that also adds to the divergence that continues to happen as people age. And then as people decide to either have a family or not have a family, that also adds to the divergence. And I can kind of see how like you get from your 20s to then say into your 40s and then be in your 40s and not be in a particularly comfortable position to talk about money openly in your peer group, because you will be acutely aware of particularly like the income disparity between, you know, like we have friends who are partners in law firms who are the same age as us who would be earning like five times our income.
Right now. Yeah.
And we're like 35 and 40.
Well, and how does that
and so it's like, how does that play out over 10 years? Like if we were to start using some of those people as a comparison point when it's like, Luke and I will never get to that level of household income ever. What's the point in kind of using them as a reference point for where we want to be in 10 years' time, because their financial opportunities will arguably be much larger than ours.
For sure.
Or different, you know? So,
And there's also going to be like, I mean, what comes with being a partner at a law firm, right? In terms of the time thing that you mentioned before, like I mean, total assumption that lawyers work a lot, but based on watching Suits, you know.
But they arguably do.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and so there's push and pull with regard to time, like you said before as well. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And so it's, I think it's also like the age thing then plays out. And that's from like, I just comes back to like, it's just on you.
Yeah.
Because you can only control your feelings about it.
Totally.
You know,
how you
all
react
of those other
stuff,
things.
Yeah.
Exactly. And how you react and how you judge other people, either like openly or kind of
in quiet.
Yes.
Yeah, at home.
You know.
I find it interesting that you're, because we've talked about this before, that you have a core value of yours is fairness.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And so that is like the starting point for that. Because, and I reflect on that as you say that and think, I hold that pretty closely as well, but in a different way.
Yeah.
More from like the family leg up side. So this is something that Ollie and I talk about a lot, and that we see a lot of our friend circles getting a helping hand quite early.
Yeah.
And we're trying to grind it out. And I'm obviously not saying that I've never had help, and there's a certain level of privilege that you're starting from. Mm-hmm. But like, I find that really hard not to be like, we, without that, or if we had that, we would be in a very different position to where we are now.
Yeah.
And that's not taking away from the work or like that we put in or things like that. But then I do find it interesting because I'm like, well, once they get that money based on conversations that we have, what are you actually doing with it?
Yes.
Because like him and I have tried to really like take on a lot of knowledge and like make sure that if we were ever in that position that we would be like smart enough to know what to do with it. And like you said before, that's grey versus numbers on a spreadsheet or whatever. Yeah. But like my perception of the unfairness that is very easy to project out.
It is. And it is. I can sympathize with this a lot.
Yeah. I find it really hard also. I was thinking about how do you maintain that relationship and celebrate them also? Because it's like
– I do have thoughts on this. You're lucky. You're not going to like the answer.
I know. I'm like, I can tell there's something – coming.
I honestly think firstly, I deeply empathize with this because I've had this situation play out in lots of different instances. Mm. And I truly think that it's just like you're already past the first step, which is you're aware that this is something that is a trigger point for you in terms of how you perceive other people and money. Mm-hmm. So great, because there'll be lots of people that don't know that that's a thing and they're just like harboring the feelings and they don't know where they're coming from or what to do with them.
Yeah.
And then I think the other part of it is like, you just need to reconcile your feelings about that person or that situation, and then also time.
Yeah.
Like give it time, basically. Because I know, as an example, one of my best friends, like closest friends, her and I both had a leg up from our parents to buy our first homes.
Yeah.
Mine was a leg up in the realm of like $50,000 that enabled Luke and I to collectively buy a house worth like $470,000 that we were never able to live in or use because it was too small and not in the area that we wanted.
Yeah.
Her leg up was in the realm of like beyond $500,000 enabled her and her partner to buy their first home that is like a 4-bedroom family home that they essentially never have to sell or move out of if they don't want to, right?
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. It's a significant difference, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, and that was hard because when you look at our, like, jobs, she's in a completely different industry. She's in the healthcare industry, like very different kind of salary projection and earning income versus where I was in finance and other things. And I think, you know, you look at that and you're like, it's natural to feel a sense of like unfairness or frustration about that. That's fine. Like acknowledge that and be like, that's okay.
Yeah.
But then I also think you have to make a decision in yourself of like, how long am I going to hold on to this for? Because ultimately I want to go around to her house. Like I love her. I want to see her. Like I'm like, your outdoor area is sick. Can you guys put a pool in? Like, come on, you know? And so
I'm going to earn that $450,000 back by hanging out in the backyard.
Pretty much. But you know, it's like, you just, I think you just sometimes realize in yourself, like, and it probably also depends on what's your relationship like with the person, how valuable is that friendship, like how, but ultimately it's on you because they're just doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like,
just living their
life. Right do I have to be resentful that her parents were in a financial position from things that they successfully did to help her with that? And do I really want to punish her? In my mind, I'm not like being outwardly resentful or mean, but do I want to do that? Like, what ultimately is that going to achieve?
Totally.
Exactly. And are we going to gain?
And if you were in the that position, you would have done the same thing.
Oh,
like, correct. If you had received that inheritance, whatever, like, would you have, you know, say, no, I don't want it, thank you, so I can
put
say,
yourself,
you know,
in that person's shoes too. Yeah. And so, and then, you know, I've had this, like, and now, of course, it doesn't even cross my mind. Like, I do not even think about it.
Yeah.
However many, it's probably been like 10 years since they bought the house. Yeah. Don't even think about it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a more recent example is, like, we have some friends here in New Zealand that they have a family situation here in Auckland that basically means they can rent a family, like, house from a family member at pretty low cost that enables them to live in an area that's super convenient and awesome for them. Mm-hmm. And they then kind of made the choice or the call that, like, they weren't probably going to be able to buy a house in the area that they ultimately wanted to live in Auckland. So they decided to buy a batch instead. So they now own a batch, but they kind of rent, like, or live almost rent-free, like, or very low-cost free in, like, a beautiful suburb. So it's like, you know, you can look at that and be like, wow, you're getting the best of both worlds. But then it's like, again, you know, you – and I think in the moment when people are doing those things, that is the natural feeling, and it's okay to have that feeling, because ultimately, you know, sure, we would love to have a batch. But then it's like, hey, Kat, there's lots of reasons you don't have a batch. Like, get over yourself.
Yeah.
You know, don't hold this grudge or, like,
against that person.
Against that person. Again, they're making decisions that are best for them. And ultimately, what right do I have to harbor that feeling and let it affect our relationship? Really, none. Do I want to be invited to the batch? Yes, I do.
Yeah,
do I get invited?
Say,
like,
just,
yes,
like,
I do. You know, so it's just, it's fine. So,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Next question. So let's say I've, like, come to terms with this feeling.
I love that you're like, let's just say that happens, knowing that it won't, because, like, I'm holding on to this hard.
Like, might take 6 months. So
it might take 6 years.
Well, true, yeah, that's true. 10 years later.
Yeah.
We'll recap on this episode. So I'm feeling okay, and I'm like, yes, we're still going to be friends. I'm not going to hold your, like, money against you. Yeah. There's something in me that, and I think it's interesting to talk about how you give and receive, or like the feelings that you have around that as well.
Yeah.
Because then I'm like, how do I show up in this relationship when I feel like I can never give as much financially that they potentially could give?
Yeah.
And it comes back to what we were talking about of, like, doing things together. But if you still like to do the same things, but it, like, one, you know, that, let's say you, I don't know, go to a sauna and the sauna is $100 or whatever, that might feel like, for me, a lot of money, but for them it's nothing. And so then, or you know, if they shout you around to drinks or whatever, and then you're like, oh, I can't repay,
totally,
you know, do you know what I mean?
Yes, I'm going to come at you
really
with another question. No, you are. So you're basically saying, like, how do I navigate, like, interacting with friends when there are parameters around those interactions that are tied to money?
Yes.
And the one thing that I would throw back to you is, do you have other parameters with friends or catch-ups that are non-monetary related that sometimes play into how you guys, like, see each other or catch up?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Like going for a walk or,
So I think some recent examples, we have a couple. It's like, one was, you know, a friend that was like, hey, I'm really, really super busy in my professional life right now. Basically, all my personal life catch ups, I'm trying to see friends and exercise at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
So
nice.
The only time
Five
that, like,
time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the only time that, like, I can really catch up is it needs to be through a walk or doing a thing. And it's like, that's a parameter that they're setting on that interaction, right?
Yeah.
And a similar thing in parent life, I'm like, I set parameters all the time. Hey, we want to catch up. Cool. A toddler's coming with me. So we have to do a thing that is toddler friendly.
Yeah.
Like,
go
some friends were just like, we really want to have you guys over for dinner. And I'm like, cool. Do you have a nursery? No, you don't. Like, I don't know what I'm meant to do with my kid.
So are you coming to mine?
And then they basically kind of recognized that and said, oh, why don't we just come to yours and we'll shout Uber Eats?
Oh, nice.
And I'm like, fantastic. Great result.
Yeah.
It's not a monetary parameter,
but
it's another kind of, like, social parameter that needs to be applied to how you're interacting in that relationship.
Yeah.
And so, again, it's kind of that thing of, it's like, recognizing that there are lots of other parameters that people put on us or we ask of other people.
Yeah.
We're just less comfortable acknowledging the ones that are based around money.
And talking about them up front.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, and so, like, whilst I wouldn't say it's advisable to super shy away from it or, you know, make up excuses if the real reason is money, because if they're a close friend or a good, like, relationship, we would hope that they understand if you explained to them, hey, you know, for the next month, I don't really have capacity to do these types of catch-ups because I'm working towards this other thing. But if you don't have that, like, and make up reasons.
Yeah, yeah, you can find
deflect.
Something.
Deflect. Yeah. Like, yeah. It's A-okay. Suggest like, people do that all the time. If you're not in a headspace that is, you know, having lots of catch-ups, people say, well, hey, I would rather go do this other thing, or could we do this thing? And I think about the article around, you know, the wealth gap ruining friendships. And when I was an advisor, we had this client who came in. She was a female in her, like, early to mid 30s. She had a really good professional job, single, was on like probably 200K income in Australia, doing really well on the surface. And when we dug into essentially her cash flow, she was pretty much running at like negative, right? Wow. Like, she was not saving any money, not getting ahead, like really struggling to basically had credit card debts, all that kind of stuff. Like, you know, arguably not in a great place when you looked at the money.
Yeah.
And when we really dug into like, where is all this money going and why is your discretionary expenses so high? She finally, after a few meetings, admitted that the only reason she feels like her friends will catch up with her is if she pays for everything. And so, when she would have like lunch on the weekend, she would shout everybody, or she would like invite you over for like dinner and drinks, and she would fund the whole thing. And she felt that if she stopped doing that, she wouldn't have those friendships. And that's a really tricky thing to navigate, because as someone that's completely on the outside of that, it's like, well, the clear message here is like, they're not the right people.
Yeah.
Like, they're not the right relationships for you to be having if that's how you feel, and you shouldn't be putting yourself in a hole. And so I do appreciate that like situations like that may be very hard to communicate, but if it's, you know, if it's like you and I, you would hope that we would be comfortable and open enough to be like, hey, this is just not in my budget parameters, right? Budget, whatever, however you want to phrase it right now. What about this as an alternative?
Yeah, for sure. It makes me think of what is your love language as well,
because
like, and how does that play into that relationship? Because if you have friends that are gift givers, and a gift could be shouting the meal or whatever, versus for me, I'm time. And so I will always give time over like paying for things, basically, because that's how I like to receive it as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know this has gone on for a while, but I have another story.
Yeah, go. Like, love it. Okay. I'm here for it. I have more questions.
Back to kind of the point of it's like, it's on you as the individual. Yep. So a recent example of this is Luke and I want to go to Wanaka. We're going to Wanaka for the Anzac Day long weekend.
Oh, cool.
So we've taken the Friday off. Fun. It's 4 days. We have some family friends that have a house down in Wanaka, and they've offered it to us on a like really low discount. So we were like, fantastic opportunity, beautiful house. We can rent it pretty much like neutral cost, and we just need to pay for our flights. Now, we booked this pretty last minute because the opportunity to stay at the house just popped up randomly. And of course, flights into Queenstown over a long weekend are not cheap, right? But the benefit to us is we get 50% discount through Air New Zealand. So for us, we're like, sweet, overall still relatively cost effective. You've got a 3-bedroom house, what are you going to do? You're going to invite some mates. So we go through the process of like, who should we ask? And we originally were like, we should ask Luke's sister and brother, they've got 3 kids. And then very quickly the conversations turns to, we shouldn't ask them because it's really expensive for 5 people to pay for flights. We don't want to put them in an awkward situation, so we didn't even ask them. Right. Then we're like, okay, what about we should ask some other friends that also have Air New Zealand discounts, because then they can get the discounted flights. And so we were trying to basically make decisions on behalf of other people based on our perception of their ability to afford that holiday without ever giving them the opportunity to
decline or
yes,
say yes.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I will own that. Like, a lot of that was on me because I was like, no, I don't want to ask them because they'll feel really put out that, you know, we can't come and it's just really unreasonable. And so we didn't. But where we did land is Luke asked some friends that they have 2 kids. So one of them's still under 2, but they're having to pay for 3 full fare, like 2 adults and a child. They don't have any connection to New Zealand. So they're paying full fare. So we had booked all our flights. I see what our flights cost. They're in the realm of, I don't know, maybe like $500.
Yeah.
We booked their flights because hopefully this episode doesn't get listened to by I said partner, but it's a surprise for like the wife who we're also friends with. She doesn't know that we're all going because it's also combined on their wedding anniversary.
Oh, wow.
So she doesn't know that we're all going down to Wanaka with the kids and it'll be amazing. And so we booked their flights because he was like, can you guys book it and then just send me the confirmation and that way she won't see it on her AirPoints and blah, blah, blah. We do that. But as we're doing that, I'm acutely aware of therefore how much their flights cost. So ours cost in the realm of $500.
Yeah.
Theirs are costing in the realm of $2,200.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And
yeah, right.
That was one of those moments to me where I was like, ooh, if that was me, I wouldn't be spending that. But I am not in the position or the right to make that call for them.
Yeah.
It's on them.
Yeah.
They have indicated that that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like they want to do this thing for their own reasons. I don't have the background to their financial situation.
Yeah.
I just need to book the flights, do the job that I've been given and stop being a judgy bitch. And, you know, like, and it was just kind of that other learning of it's like, if that was a problem for them, they would have told us. And it obviously isn't. So let's just continue booking the holiday and happy days. Enjoy your time.
Yeah. I find it really interesting because the first part with like Luke's sister and stuff is very like from a place of self-awareness, right?
Yes,
and trying to be kind to others that you don't want to put them out or like force them to
make
have a
them
conversation
feel bad,
that they don't
that
want
they
to have. Or,
have to decline.
Yeah. But then the other one is like you can flip that in some ways because once you've gotten to that point, then you like it's very hard not to have those thoughts as you're going through that process of like if this was me, I would or wouldn't do that thing.
And on the fairness point, there is an inbuilt level of inequality in that because we're asking people to come on a trip that innately will always cost us less because if we're flying with Air New Zealand, we have the ability to get a discount. And we know that lots of other people don't have the ability to get a discount. And I think Luke and I are both like hyper aware of that. And him as someone that's like a natural people pleaser often tries to give his discount to lots of different people, which then can be more trouble than it's worth.
Nice.
Yeah, and it is nice, but it is that thing of it's like that's our perception of that inequality and fairness piece and we're sort of ultimately making a judgment on behalf of someone else, whereas like just give them the information, give them the request, and then it's on them
to,
like,
make the decision
and own what's best for them. Like why do we feel so obliged to
try to like
meet in the middle and make it all equal? Because to the point at the start, like it's never all going to be equal.
No. Because you're all coming from different starting points or like points on the journey.
Exactly.
For sure.
Exactly. And like maybe this is their only holiday that they're having, or maybe this is like the most important thing.
Wedding
or,
anniversary.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And you know, all that kind of stuff. Maybe this is the opportunity that they needed to have time away with friends or whatever it might be. You don't have the full picture. So there was no value in the judgment that we were making.
Yeah. In quiet, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah. But I also think, like, you can, coming back to the example with giving the friends the opportunity to come or not, you can, like, offer them that opportunity in a way that kind of gives them an out as well to be like, you know, I appreciate that it's last minute and expensive and blah, blah, blah. So, like, completely understand.
Yeah.
But let me know by this point or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So it's all comes back to how you communicate it probably.
Exactly.
Around that. Yeah. Interesting. I was also just thinking of recently like another example with hens talking about how just how and then going out to dinner with friends and things. Like how do you split like
things.
Shared costs?
So hard.
It is so hard. And I think usually you have a leader of the group or whatever, the person that's organizing it and that kind of thing. And I think it is ultimately on that person to make it clear up front. Like, we're going out to dinner, we're going to split the bill eight ways or whatever. You know, same with hens, you know. And then also trying to understand because you can't guarantee that that person who's organizing is also going to choose like the options that you would choose or the cheapest things or the most expensive things or the middle of the run or whatever. So it's such a minefield.
It is. And I think in those bigger group scenarios, there is a much higher probability that there are people involved that are not super close to you. They're like peripheral friends or friends of friends or whatever that might be. And so that does add the complexity to that.
Mm.
But I mean, on the flip side of that, it's like, well, what are the chances that if you feel like you need to be quite firm on something, you're going to piss that person off? If they do get pissed off or they're like, oh, that was a bit stingy. It's like, cool. They might think that for a week and then they'll forget it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know, exactly, it's not like it's going to play out in your life forever.
Yeah.
But I do agree with you. I think it's, you know, on the perhaps the organizer to be quite just direct around like this is sort of what the plan is. If someone has a problem with that, they can then talk with that person directly about it and maybe figure out something else.
Yeah.
We did this recently with like a friend's birthday dinner that they organized. there was kind of a group of like 14 of us, and three people were uni kids, where the rest of us are all like corporate careers. It was a 30th birthday, so 30 plus basically. And the three younger girls were her family friends. So at the end of the night, we purposefully excluded those three from the bill because we knew that like they had kind of ordered their own level of food. They weren't drinking, all that kind of stuff. It was like you three pay individually and then the rest of us just split the bill.
Yeah, smart. Oh, I would need more of that in my life.
And it was great because that was led by the person who organized it because she obviously knew situation of like the other three, whereas the rest of us wouldn't.
Yeah.
And then it was just easy. And I'm like, great.
Oh, that's so great. Yep. I've been to so many dinners when we were talking about this just before the episode started, of where you go in and you are the person that I'm like, okay, today I'm not going to drink and I'm not going to go hard or whatever.
Yep.
And then at the end of it, they're like, oh, should we split the bill eight ways? And you're like, no, I purposely didn't eat this. Like because I'm on a budget, then I find that so frustrating. And I
do you ever say anything? Do you say, do you mind if I pay separately?
No, I think that's just a confidence slash like not wanting to rock the boat. But also because I've had in the past a friend say to me like, "Have you always been this self-conscious about money?" Or like, yeah, and just straight up being like, oh, "I didn't realize you like were so obsessed with money," basically. And I was like,
I would be so just sassy back. I'd be boundaries. Like, I'm obsessed with growing my money.
Exactly. I have goals that aren't this.
Exactly. Oh my goodness. And
so, but I think it's like you can easily let those small comments kind of then dictate how you show up in those situations because you're like, oh, do I want to like people pleasing me? Maybe I'll just like let that go or whatever.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So. That was my rant of the day.
It was a fantastic rant.
Thank you.
So, I mean, to kind of round this episode out, do we have any tips? I feel like there's been a lot of like this all of a sudden became a psychology of money episode. But I guess the kind of core messages that I was getting was it's really about you. Like you're the starting point, managing your own emotions and your own expectations and understanding of yourself and your friends and being confident with the things that you're happy to do. Just acknowledge like, yes, that does feel unfair, but I'm going to give myself a week to feel a bit like begrudged about this and then I will get over it and move on with my life because I value that friendship or I don't want to be focused on that negative thing.
And you can't take it back. It's happened. It's in the
past. Yeah. Exactly. And I think with that, ultimately, it's like I would prefer to be around all the people that I am around that are doing better than me.
Yeah.
Because I do believe in like the five people thing and it lifts you. Exactly. Yeah, and sure, like an element of jealousy at times can be frustrating, but it can be motivating if you approach it in the right type of mentality as well. But you need to work on that yourself. Yes. That's hard.
Yeah, it is hard. But it's possible as well. Yeah. It's like the scarcity versus abundance mindset of like knowing that there's money out there versus like focusing on what you don't have.
And find the person, whether it's your partner or like a best friend, that you can be super open with. Because it's the other thing, like, don't get me wrong. Like, I'll rant to Luke and be like, oh my God, how does this person buy a badge? This is so ridiculous. Like, and he's just like, yeah, cool. Like, you know,
Move on.
I've like had my rant and I've been like, I'm just so intrigued.
Walk me through the scenario.
Exactly. Oh, I haven't. Do I have time for one more story?
Yeah, okay.
Because the one story on this that I was like, I'm genuinely intrigued is I have this really good friend at the gym who listens to the podcast. Hopefully she listens to this episode.
And she
will know. And so we were talking about how they were selling their house in Mount Eden to move to Remuera to get into a different school zone. Really important to their family. Yep. That was what they were doing. And we were just chatting about like the sales process and how that was going and the market being down and rah, rah, rah. And kind of the real sticking point was the valuation that they got versus what kind of came through on auction was significant. Different, in the realm of $800,000 less.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So, So, you know, it's like, okay, crap. How are we going to get into this other suburb? And then also the conversation was like, houses in Remuera are just a lot harder to get into, like a much higher minimum price point for the same type of property, so to speak. And so that was like a bit of a challenge. And so they sold the house in Mount Eden, kind of talked about like what the price point and outcome of that was. And then we talked about what was the price point they were looking to get into. And you know what I'm like, fast maths, like, okay, it doesn't take much to figure out. I'm like, shit, like, do they have no debt? Like, how much equity they have? Well, they're just like, where's this other $1 million coming from? Like, I got questions, but I can't ask this in 45 minute gym session. I'm like, look, cat, chill out, chill out. Yes. So I let it pass, went home. I was like telling Luke mostly about the outcome of their auction because we found that interesting.
telling him about it. And I was like, yeah, I'm just so intrigued as to like where the rest of this money is kind of coming from. Anyway, and I'm like, damn, their business must have been like much more successful than I kind of recognized. Like, good on them.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, weeks pass, carry on, don't really think about it, getting updates from her about how it's going with the house hunting in Remuera. Get to the point where just a couple of weeks ago saw her and she was like, oh my God, we've bought this house in Remuera. And I was like, oh my God, amazing. And she's like, we're now just waiting for the batch to sell. And the other penny dropped, which is the context to that whole discussion that I didn't know about, was they also owned a batch that they had bought just pre-COVID, pre-price boom, which she also acknowledged that, you know, if they hadn't gotten in when they did, they wouldn't have been able to purchase that, that they then made a significant amount of money on because, you know, bought at a low point immediately, like pre-COVID, almost doubled in value over like 3 years kind of thing in a like beautiful region, like Coromandel based area, essentially.
Yeah.
But they have to sell that in order to make this move. And that was the agreement. They were always going to sell their family home in Mount Eden and then they were going to sell the batch and then buy a bigger family home. And she's like, but we have made the conscious decision to like go all in on the family home and they want to buy a place where they either has a pool or they could get a pool. And that's kind of why the price point was what she was talking about. And I'm like, oh my God, this makes so much more sense.
Yeah.
And it, I wasn't.
When you have the full context,
I wasn't being judgy because I was genuinely like, this is awesome, and she's so kind and lovely and open, and I'm like, great for them. But I was like, this math ain't mathin'. Like, what am I missing?
How is this working?
Yeah, like, you know. And so, of course, it's like if you have that thought, if you have that thought, there might be more to it. And it just was that reminder to me of like, you can't judge a book by a cover. Even if you're getting an insight into a story, there may be more to the story that's inadvertently being left out or purposefully being left out. You don't know. Like, just don't be judgy. Like,
Take it at surface. Like, understand that you're only getting a potentially a small part
Of a bigger picture. And that's fine. And, you know, contribute to that conversation in a way that that other person kind of needs you to, and don't be too judgy because there is always more to it. I was just like, oh, I haven't had that reminder in a while, and that was timely.
That was it.
Like, eat your humble pie, you know.
Oh, that's so good. I just am thinking of three other scenarios as well. That's so good.
But I feel like everyone will have these situations, right, where it's like potentially in the moment you get kind of so caught up in like your initial emotions and feeling about it and also the information that they're telling you, and then you're like, oh, like, I don't know how this kind of plays out. And it's just that reminder of like trying to remove yourself from the judgment or emotion, let that pass, have a think about it, and then move forward. Because ultimately, if you want the friendship and like relationship to continue, you can't.
You're going to have to do it.
Anyway. Yeah, you can't think like that.
Yeah, yeah. Love it. I'm just going to say one story.
Okay, great.
Well, one thought that I had while you were saying that is around the unfairness piece and reflecting on the like bigger picture. In almost all of the instances where the people around us that have received inheritance, it's because someone has died.
Mm-mm.
Someone close to them has passed away in a significant, like it's like an immediate like parent or something.
Yep.
And so it's understanding like what was the cause of them getting that money. You know, like, and a lot of chances that someone, like, you are probably going to get like an inheritance when your parents pass away if they're in a situation to do that. It's just whether that happens now or in like when you're 50.
In the future.
Right?
Exactly.
So, just on the full context of understanding like also what is the cost to that that goes behind it. Mm-hmm. Same with the lawyering of time versus money and that kind of thing.
Exactly. And ultimately on that, it's like you're in control of your decisions. They're in control of theirs. They have made decisions that led them to a different path than you're on. And so you kind of need to recognize that as well. It's like, we're all in different situations.
Yes, exactly.
Oh,
love it.
What a time. I'd love to hear some stories on this. If anyone wants to slide into the DMs, please do let us know. Because I do think it's really interesting. Like, the original article that we commented about at The Guardian, I did feel was kind of very negative around just saying that like money can have a real negative impact on friendships and relationships. And I would be interested to hear if people feel like that, because it kind of comes to that point of like, how do you move past that? How can you resolve that within yourself so that that's not the case? And do you also just need to have a reflection on like, is money just the amplifier to what is perhaps a negative personality trait for either you or them?
Mate, you are talking deep to my soul.
I know.
Negative trait.
This is the money and psychology episode you never knew you needed.
The therapy session. Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah, thank you for tuning in. If you need to go talk to your significant other or a friend, just have a bit of a vent, please go do that, because it does make us feel better. We're all human.
Yeah.
And then, finding a way to move forward and just recognizing that, we're all in our own situation, and stay comparison is the thief of joy, as they say.
Yes.
But sometimes we need to be a bit thiefy and like...
As to remind that we need
and
to not.
Yeah, exactly. And then we need to come back out. It's coming back out to reality. That's also helpful.
Thanks for tuning in. Yeah. We will talk to you next week.
Okay.
Bye.